Sports Radio 92.9 Game. It's 8:03 here on a Monday morning. Mike Johnson, Ali Mack, Squid Billy, and Dialon hanging out with you here in the Kia Studios in Midtown. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com. Take a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. It's time for the wake-up call, 404-726-0929, or you can hit us up at 929 Morning Shift. Two questions on the table. Would you trade Kyle Pitts if you were Terry Fontenot, if you were Raheem Morris, if you were anybody else who is has agency in that decision? Would you make the move to move on from Kyle Pitts at this point? Year number five, $10 million on the table. Also, if you met a celebrity in person, you getting a selfie or you getting an autograph? And I'm curious to know, like, how old the answer is. You know what I mean? Like, how old are you in your life to where you have now chosen autograph over selfie or vice versa? Be curious to get some of that. We already have somebody weighing in on Twitter, Eddie Robbins, saying, I would trade anybody if it improved the team. Yeah, to an extent. I wish that's how football worked, but it's not. You always have to, consider the investment you have in said player.
Mm-hmm.
It's not as easy to move on when you say you've – and I hate this. It's like I said, I hate that we judge players based on the investment you made in them to the draft, because at this point it doesn't matter if he was fourth overall. Doesn't matter. None of that matters at this point. None of it matters what he did at the combine. None of it matters 5 years later what his 40 time was or how many, catches he had in college. But, and Nick Saban used to say this about recruits. He hated the rankings, the recruiting rankings. He hated that there were five stars because you always had expectations of what the player was. And if they didn't pan out, then you judge them more harshly than if they had been a four star or a three star. You're just like, dude, it was a five star. You should have been a lot better. It's like, they're all going through the same thing, man. Just all going through the same process.
Yeah, so. I also think this player here had a 1,000-yard season his rookie year, too.
Yeah.
So he lived up to expectations. You can hark on the touchdowns all you want his rookie year. I didn't care a bit. I thought he produced. He helped you win games.
Yeah, what, he had one touchdown?
He had one touchdown. But he also put you – I mean, I always go back to Miami where Matt hits him on the sideline and he's sandwiched between two DBs and makes a phenomenal catch. It was a good throw, too. Hey, real quick before we get to the lines – Can I do top five Tuesday tomorrow?
Tomorrow?
Yeah, I think I'm skipping ahead in rotation.
Is there any reason in particular you want to do top five Tuesday?
Say, I think
tomorrow?
Allie was supposed to be up, but yes, I would be excited that you're excited to do
Metallica's
top five.
In town tomorrow.
Oh,
and I'm supposed to be going, although I haven't received my tickets yet.
Oh, I know what this is about.
I'm supposed to be going, and I was maybe gonna do like. Either top five Metallica songs you want to see live or just top five like rock songs you want to see live or something.
Yeah.
And because I want people to be able to like obviously jump in. So I don't know which one I want to do. Maybe you guys can help me.
I would say rock. Yeah. I don't know if I can think of five Metallica songs off the top of my head.
Yeah. I'm not going to the Metallica show. So I don't. That's not my genre.
Definitely your alley.
Well, I might not be either. I don't know. I'm trying.
I remember this conversation though because it was me coming off wanting to go to the United game to see Messi,
yeah.
Where Tim Z hooks it up.
Yeah.
And Tim Z was talking to you, and he goes, have you never sat in those seats before?
Because like,
they're
nope.
The greatest. Yeah.
Because I haven't.
They're the greatest seats at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And you're like, no, I haven't. And he's like, oh, well, you got to come sometime. And you said, well, Metallica's coming in June.
I didn't.
And here
I didn't miss my words.
That was like,
we?
And that was.
That was like 6 months ago.
That was
ago.
Like October,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, October, November, whenever the playoffs were.
Yeah,
so
crazy.
If you're listening, just shoot me those tickets.
Yeah, Metallica. Yeah, I would say Top 5 Tuesday, live rock shows for sure, especially coming off, were they at Blacksburg, right? They were –
Well, they were like a month ago.
Yeah.
Dude, that show
– It looked awesome.
Well, I mean, imagine hearing Inner Sandman in the place
yeah,
and play it like
insane.
That. Like, that was live. I mean, that's phenomenal.
All right,
well, you can go right ahead and take Top 5 Tuesday tomorrow.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, we'll see what I can I can draw up.
Hey, again, reminder, would you trade Kyle Pitts, yes or no? And if you met a celebrity in person, autograph or selfie, which one are we doing? Let's go to the phone lines, Dylan. Let's go to Taylor in Jonesboro. Taylor, good morning. You're on the morning shift.
On, Allie, what's going on, gentlemen? Good morning.
What's up, buddy?
Morning.
As far as the first question about Kyle Pitts goes, yeah. I think it's reached a time where how much longer can you say this is finally going to be the year that we get consistent production out of him? Obviously, it's not all on him. I think the injury really derailed him.
Sure.
And also looking at it, Michael Penix, I feel comfortable in saying this is probably the best quarterback. I know we had Kirk the first 9 or 10 weeks of last year. I feel like we are finally in a good spot at quarterback, but you can only go so long with saying that someone is going, this is finally going to be the year. So, yeah, I would trade him. And now I don't think you just give him up for anything. I think it's got to be a situation where, because this was the number four overall pick, so you have to at least get some form of return in him, also considering you don't have a lot of draft capital next year. So yeah. If Kansas City calls, for instance, and gives a second round pick, you gotta give him away.
Yeah.
That's the way I'm looking at it. And in this offense especially, you know, I feel like Charlie Warner being the blocking tight end, you know, obviously, I mean, the conversation is, well, how do you replace the production? That's a tough call that you got to make, but at the same time, you have to look at, can you get value in someone who has clearly been underwhelming?
Yeah, and that's, especially the time of year, guys, right? Like, you're not going to go out and find, like, some kind of free agent signee that you just feel like is incredibly talented. Not even, like, college football and drafted free agents, right? You're not going out and signing somebody that you're like, oh, he can fill in. Nah, not to that point. You have to be comfortable in what you have at the wide receiver position if you were going to move on from Kyle Pitts.
That's why it's day two. I'm not taking anything less than a third round pick. Mm-hmm. That's why, because then you have to. Because look, there's a lot of people that think the G, and I don't necessarily disagree that the GM's job is on the line this year.
Yeah,
and so you're not going to give up that production if you don't. You know, that would be a feather in his cap. To your point, say, well, look, I mean, we have all these picks next year. Or, mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you know,
check this
even
out.
Though, you know, and that's also if you go like 10-7 and say, look, we went 10-7 and we still missed the playoffs. I don't know what to tell you, but we got all these things coming back from a 10-7 team. We're going to be, you know, it's
such
next
a
mea culpa.
It's such a my bad though on Terry Fontenot. Hey, I know we missed well, on the fourth overall, but
I'm going to tell you something. I do not believe that Terry Fontenot 100% is the blame for that pick. I think the former coach here had a lot of influence on that pick, and when I mean lot. I mean, it was his pick.
All right, let's go back to the phone lines. Let's head over to Mike and Marietta. Mike, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, man, what's going on?
Living
first time caller, long time listener to the morning show.
Thanks, man.
So, two things. One, Kyle Pitts. I think so. I think you can get a better tight end off waivers. but second thing. I don't know, Bo, if you remember this, but a long, long time ago in Hiram at the Home Depot, they had Tony Stewart come through, and he signed autographs for probably like 2 or 3 hours. And I waited in that line, but back in the day, my dad used to do a lot of NASCAR collectibles, so that was one of the cooler ones I met. I met him, Kenny Wallace, a whole bunch of people.
That's a pretty good one. That's pretty good.
You know, it's a funny story about Tony Stewart. Is He like dated a chick that used to work at Old Town in Kennesaw.
Wow.
For a while. Yeah.
Smoke Stewart dated a chick from Old Town in Kennesaw.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. And I do remember when Tony Stewart rolled through.
He said Michael Wallace or Michael Waltrip?
I just heard the Tony Stewart part.
Okay. I was gonna say Michael Waltrip's doing an appearance tomorrow in Atlanta somewhere. I saw that out there. I was like, oh, I might have stopped by.
Yeah, I'm good.
Meet Michael Waltrip.
Mikey, maybe you can do your own grid walk with him.
Hey,
Michael.
do a little grid walk.
That's what I said.
Hey, let's go back to the phone lines. Let's head over to Chief in South Fulton, Dylan. Chief, what's going on? What's happening?
What's happening, Chief? Before I get to my wake-up call for the NBA, Kyle Pitts, the whole thing, you can give me a fifth-round pick and a smart TV for Dylan, and I can call
smart
it.
Smart TV.
Kyle Pitts,
wow.
You know.
Why did Dylan catch a stray all of a sudden?
You know, I love dealing, but you know, give a man a smart TV. I deal. I tell you what though, the NBA. I got a wake up call for all the unnamed players who do all these same surveys about who's overrated or whatever. Because I'm telling you right now, Tyrese Haliburton, ask the New York Knicks if he overrated. Matter of fact, ask the New York Knicks if Trae Young overrated.
Oh, yeah.
Matter of fact, when it comes to this overrated thing right here, put your name on it. At least those two idiots that was on First Take the other day last week talking about Trae Young, at least they had enough to show their stupid faces, because some of the stuff that come out of these people's mouths, I just don't get it. And it really irritates me.
Yeah. You know what's funny, too, about the Athletic does this with every sport now. They like, hey, overrated college football coach, overrated this, that, like the anonymous poll. And they it is interesting to kind of see some of the insight.
Yeah.
You're like, man. But at the same time, when a name like Tyrese Haliburton or Trey Young comes out, you're like, all right, dude, I just mean, calm down for a minute.
It's making Chief call people like, idiots.
Yeah,
and they got stupid faces. Like, it's making him irate.
Hey, let's go back to the phone lines. Let's get one more in here. Let's talk to Snaggletooth. I don't even want to know. What's going on, man?
Kevin Samurkatroy, sympathetic even.
No.
Good morning, Joe. Mike Mafia. Hello. Wait. Billy.
What are we
Hello.
What are we dealing here? What
What's
we got?
Happening?
What we got? Is this Skip? It's gotta be Skip. Skip,
hey,
what's up, man?
Good morning, Becky.
Skip.
What's going on?
I'm about to cut the phone line off, Skip. You better get it out, man.
Oh man, what's going on, Mike?
What's up, man?
Mike Mafia's in the house.
What's up, man?
Yeah, it sounds
hey,
like it.
Hold on. Hey man, on that Kyle Pitt, man, I say let's ride him out, dude. Let's ride him out. You drafted him. Let's see what he's about. Mike Penix said that he can do some wonders with him. So if he can do some wonders with him this year, I say we're gonna sign, but he won't get no big contract. Also, and my famous person, man, that I met recently was Mike Mafia's in the house. He was in the Yammobile, baby. Whoa, yeah. Mike Mafia.
All right, Skip. All right, calm down. I appreciate your phone call, as always, man. If you guys want to weigh in, too, at 929 Morning Shift, obviously love to hear from you guys at all times.
And I'm going to need to know how much coffee he had.
Yeah, I don't know. I was like, Skip, look, got to bring it home, baby. Got to bring it home. About to get off track. Appreciate everybody weighing in. If we left you hanging on the phone line, just try us again tomorrow, man. We'll make sure we catch up with everybody in the wake-up call. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about the Atlanta Braves and Garrett Crochet become the first pitcher in 2 years to accomplish a feat against the Atlanta Braves. Tell you what that is on the other side. Stick with us. This is the Morning Shift, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. 822 Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. It is the Morning Shift. Mike, Allie, Bostradamus, and Dylon back there behind the glass playing all the tunes. I don't know. I feel myself fist bumping right now, Dylon. Just calm down a little bit, man.
Hey, sometimes you need to get a little fist pump in on a Monday.
How many, if Bo were to do a top five tomorrow and it was Metallica songs live, how many of those songs do you think you would know off the top of your head, Dylon? Like when he's sending you, hey, I want to play this one for number two. You're like, oh, yeah, that's the jam.
Enter Sandman and
Who?
Enter Sandman.
Oh, I thought you said answer. I was like,
oh, no, enter.
Okay, my bad, bad.
Enter Sandman. I think there's one other one that, like, if I, like, see it, I'll be like, oh, yeah, I know that song, probably.
If you see it.
Like, yeah. If I see the title. I can't think of the title off the top of my head, but.
One? Yeah.
So one or two. No more than two, though.
No, next no. It's a song. I guess it's not one.
He doesn't get credit for that one.
No, it is not the song, I guess, titled one that they have.
Yeah.
What's the day years old?
I find those conversations so funny when Bo's like, here's my top five Metallica songs. Dylon, you should know these already. It's probably like, I have never heard of any one of these.
No, I wouldn't expect Dylon to know.
Hold on.
I would expect you, Mike, but and Allie, a few of them, but.
I more so think of Metallica in the "You Took Away Napster" sense. That's what I think
of
them for.
Well, that was Lars Ulrich, who is one of, you know, obviously Metallica. To me, Metallica is like one of the ultimate subcategory. Like I could make like multiple subcategories of like Metallica 80s songs, Metallica 90s.
Oh, they're not the subcategory. Oh, I thought you were saying they are a subcategory. You're saying you could subcategory off Metallica.
I'm saying I could take Metallica and say their best, like, their best albums, but you have to do, like...
Tim
you
know, Z, I don't know where you're
you
at. Please
go,
get this man these tickets,
because
that's intense, dude.
You could go kind of like... they because they're first... So from Kill 'Em All to And Justice for All, they had in between, they had Ride the Lightning and Master of Puppets. So in there, those four albums or whatever are completely different than... Even the Black Album's different. And then once they mid-90s, those albums were like, it just, they've had
completely reinvented
themselves.
Yeah,
there's Metallica with hair and Metallica with short hair. Okay? So the short hair Metallica was almost a different band in some ways.
Bo asking me the question about how many Metallica, are you asking me the question, how many Metallica songs I would know that Bo lists off, actually made me think about this question. How many Drake songs each of you
Whoa.
Know? I feel like you guys would know more than you think. And I'm trying to put my point of how goated Drake is.
Yeah.
I know that. I know that. Not Like Us is not Drake.
Correct.
And it's probably better than any Drake song ever.
What's the
couldn't name the them. Right. Yeah, the phone. I the couldn't phone name one. Them, but I could sing along
Hotline
with them,
Bling.
I'm sure.
Yeah, Hotline Bling. Yeah, I know that one.
You guys probably know Just Hold On, We're Going Home.
No. Is that is Hotline on, Bling the home. Same one she's calling my cell phone? Is that the same song?
That's not the same
one. Okay, then I know two.
God's Plan? You guys know God's Plan?
Oh, yeah. Everybody knows that one.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, so that's two right there.
Yeah.
I guarantee if you heard Just Hold On, We're Going Home, you know that one.
Maybe.
Just hold
I wouldn't,
on.
Anyway.
I'll take your word for it.
We're okay. So, yeah, we got to
anyways. Anyways.
And I do want to give a couple guys a shout out too that weighed in at the wake up call. Joe Mama says yes to trading Pitts, and then his favorite athlete of all time. He got a picture with him, Dale Murphy.
Yeah.
Joe Mama is bigger than Dale Murphy.
He chose selfie, or not selfie, just professional photographer. Also, Eddie Robbins, who had weighed in, said if it trade anybody, if it improved the team, he said he's got autographs from Pete Maravich and Hank Aaron.
That's old
Huge.
School.
Buddy,
I did not think that Joe Mama would stand taller than Dale Murphy, because Dale Murphy is not a short dude.
Yeah.
And I was like, dang.
Also, Joe Mama just extremely impressed with the beard, man. Extremely.
You know what's funny? You know what's funny?
Is, wow.
I kind of thought it. I didn't. I was like, wait, who is that? I thought it was somebody I knew. I must have.
That was at 929 Morning Show. Appreciate you guys always weighing in. A lot of fun on that conversation, but we do need to talk about the Braves.
Yeah, Braves. They did lose a series over the weekend to the Red Sox yesterday. Ended 3-1. All the action basically happened in the first inning today. They get a day off, much needed, but Diamondbacks are coming to town tomorrow. Now, Diamondbacks are 28-31. We are 27-31. So these are pretty much equal teams here. Hopefully things can turn a little bit.
Yeah, Brandon Fott. I think that's how you say his name. He's actually Brandon Fott or Fat. I don't know how you say his name, but he's actually friends with Desmond Ritter. It's just random. I don't know. I don't know how I knew that. Yeah, Desmond Ritter was posting pictures with him and Brandon Fott. Brandon Fott gives up 8 earned. Was 0 outs over the weekend. I was like, dude, that's not good. So that's a Diamondback situation that they're probably going to want to put a Band-Aid on.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
The funny thing is they're both dreadful lately. The Braves are 3-7 in the last 10, and the Diamondbacks were a whopping 2-8 in their last 10. Although, I will say this, Diamondbacks just won their last game, so they're coming in here hot.
I was going to say, it's like the Spider-Man meme where they're both pointing at one another. Like, hey, wait a second.
And both have good rosters.
Yeah. I brought this up earlier when I was teasing this segment. Garrett Crochet yesterday became the first pitcher in over 2 years, the last being Zach Wheeler, to strike out 12 Braves.
Wow.
Yeah, first pitcher in 2 years to strike out 12 Braves hitters. So you've had a couple of dry spells over the last couple of years, but evidently none looked like Garrett Crochet yesterday. I was trying to build my son up too, watching Garrett Crochet. I'm like, this is one of the hardest throwing pitchers in the world. And I'm sitting there going, you know, anybody in Major League Baseball probably is one of the hardest throwing pitchers
in the world.
Of course, they
are.
Garrett Crochet, 96, 97, it is what it is. But my son's like, really? I'm like, yeah. Like, in the whole world on planet Earth. He's like, wow.
You should also give an assist to the home plate umpire, because he single-handedly struck out a couple of those guys on his own doing, because the pitch is sure as hell
like
didn't.
I said, I think it was both ways yesterday. Ozuna was upset at one, and then I don't know if it was Bummer throwing to Rafaela that he got rung up, and you're like, dude, that was definitely the same place as Marcelo Ozuna.
It was Iglesias's in the night.
Maybe it was.
When Iglesias struck out. Iglesias looked good yesterday.
Did he change his delivery a little bit, or his arm slot? He looked different.
I think he's just stopped. Well, yeah, he looked different because he wasn't giving up a home run. That's what looked different. I think he just changed. I mean, I'm sorry, Allie.
Talk about Allie's player like that. We've all had our bumps and bruises, by the way. Ding.
Yes.
Our Dave's Bill's not been good. Pierce Johnson, not been good. So
yeah,
yeah,
but they've
had
good stretches this year.
Yeah.
I mean, Iglesias has just been. So.
What a way to describe it, Bo. Very eloquent.
The FCC won't let me be me, okay? So I have to make noises because it's not been good. It's been rough. All of that said, he's not the problem with it. He's not the sole issue with this team. The issue is hitting in clutch situations, and they've fallen short. Everyone on this team has fallen short at the plate. So.
Yeah, we're leaving people on base. I think there were 4 guys left on base yesterday. Like, that easily could have come back because it was 3-1. They could have scored. There were some really tense moments where things could have happened, and it's just not happening, and it's so frustrating to watch.
I can only imagine, especially like being in Grant's shoes where, you know, you obviously follow every out for the Braves. I don't know what answer you give people anymore.
Right.
You just don't have one. It's right. Like, oh, well, they'll be whole when this guy comes back or this guy will get hot. And I told y'all, I was not going to judge Ronald Acuna or anything he was doing until we got at least halfway through June because I think he deserves that. But it's been Strider the same way. But, dude, it's the same old song and dance every single time. Bo obviously is a very positive Braves fan, but sometimes I start varying away from him and he and I get into these arguments because it just feels too much like we are missing the boat on this quote-unquote dynasty that we were supposed to have just a few years ago, where you have this solid core that signed a team-friendly contracts and you hit the ground running and you find all these pitchers and you've got one of the best ERAs in baseball, and yet it just feels like we're being left behind. Every time I turn on the TV, I'm like, this is not what I was expecting this entire season. It was like that last year, and it's been like that this year.
Well, you're being left behind for multiple reasons. You're getting outspent almost 2-1. And even though you're one of the top 5 or 6 salary teams in baseball, but you're still getting outspent by teams like the Dodgers, you've kept young core together, but everyone can scream at the mountaintops how good of a move it was to let Dansby Swanson walk, but it doesn't sure as hell look that way now, does it? I mean, you know, so
Cubs are good, by the way.
Yeah, the Cubs are very good, and they're also hitting very well.
Yeah.
You know, Freddie Freeman's agent goes rogue and causes that, but you replace him with the best available option. I think I get so tired of revisionist history, that kind of stuff. You've let Max Fried walk. So the guys that have performed to the highest of levels, because look, Michael Harris had half a season and he got paid. Mm-hmm. Spencer Strider, 3/4 of the season and he got paid. And since Harris has been injury prone and not hit, phenomenal defense. Arcia worked his way into an all-star game and then out of a starting job.
Yeah, in a matter of 2 calendar years.
Strider's been hurt for a whole season. Acuna's been hurt for a whole season. Austin Riley's had, he's played very, actually Austin Riley's been with probably him and Olsen have been the most consistent players. Ozuna hit a dip where he didn't do anything for a couple years and then boom, pops out of it. So Ozzy Albies is a streaky player that has been injured again. So the consistency has been kind of missing.
Well, and Historically, though, in June, the Braves do get hot. So hopefully we can start to turn the tide a little bit, because if you're looking at the standings right now, we're pretty much on even playing field with the Pirates, Marlins, and Rockies. Those are the only teams that we are beating right now in the National League. Yeah. So we don't want to be in that company.
And I'm going to tell you something.
Tell me.
That the Rockies one, there's a golfer right now, pro golfer, who has as many wins in the last month as the Rockies did.
Dude.
Really?
Yeah.
They are.
His name is Scotty Scheffler.
Oh, goodness.
They are so bad.
It's 9-50 right now.
Yes. You know what the number is?
What is that?
Scotty Scheffler has 3 wins.
Yeah, I was going to say. Hey,
the last month, I think.
What did you think of his kid having the blowout So
here's the deal. Amy, every time any little thing happens, like anything, like when Porkchop has
your kid, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. She's like, I just don't want people to think I'm a bad mom. I hope you won't, aww. Like she immediately like questions. Sure. And I just like, so I sent her that video and I was like, see, it doesn't mean a thing because
there's not a handbook, Amy. We're all just doing the best we can.
You're a great mom, Amy.
Exactly.
We're all just trying to survive, man.
Exactly.
All just trying to survive.
Exactly.
All right, stick with us on the morning shift. We're going to come back. We're going to talk a little bit more about the NBA playoffs. The finals matchup is set. That kicks off this Thursday. We also got a Life of Squid.
One NFL wide receiver, I believe, suddenly has his own revisionist history about his departure from a team. Tell you the who and the where. Next, Morning Shift Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, and
the Odyssey app. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Finishing up here on the Morning Shift, it's 8:41 a.m. Hopefully you guys are adjusting to the new summer schedules and the ride-in or whatever else is going on in your life. My wife is, I don't know, she's about an hour and a half later taking the kids to daycare these days because as she works in public school, she's like, you know what, summertime, we're just chilling. That's kids are nice. Also on a part-time daycare schedule right now, only going 3 days a week, which has started off choppy, I'll be honest with you.
Have the I'm bored complaints started?
That weekend, so we ended up switching last week, Thursday for Friday. So they didn't go to school Friday. And then, you know, by the time Sunday hits, you're like, dude, y'all been here a long time.
Cabin fever.
Like, y'all been here a long time. So, yeah, had a little bit of that over the weekend. But hopefully everybody else is, you know, enjoying the less crowded roads, hopefully. You know, not as many school buses. You're not stopping every 10 feet when you leave your house in the morning. Thank you so much for coming along the ride with us this morning. A lot of fun conversation about Kyle Pitts and the Atlanta Braves. And Bo thinks that Brian Snicker is just, you know, he doesn't really have a role with the Braves, I guess.
No, you know what? I'm sick of being misrepresented by you and others. That's not what I said.
He's just paddling the canoe a lot.
No, I'm telling you, if you think that Brian Snicker throwing a nutty once a week is a difference in this team winning 101 games, then you're sadly mistaken.
Is that really a word?
Throwing a nutty?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
You just make it up?
I mean,
okay,
it makes sense. You got it, right?
Yeah.
Well,
it made sense. No, I'm not asking for once a week. Once a month would be fine. I'd be good if he lost his, you know, just got an argument once a month.
Yeah, I just.
It's a little emotion, man.
I think stuff loses its luster when you know it's not real. And I think if Brian Snicker's throwing a nutty once a month, I think you realize it's not real.
You don't think there's one thing per month that you could get mad at and emotional about if you were the manager of the Atlanta Braves? You don't think there's one thing?
You know what's funny is when you and I have a conversation, and I'm an animated human being,
yeah.
A very animated person. My voice carries.
You have range, yeah.
And if I speak a little bit higher in volume, don't raise your voice at me, and you like lose your mind. Yet you want the manager, and
well,
which
you're
is,
not
but
the
hold
manager
on,
of the Atlanta
hold
Braves.
On, let me finish. Which is my personality. It's who I am. You
sure.
Get mad when I'm me at times,
right?
Yet you want someone else to go out there and not be him, be completely out of character for who he is always, and you think that is going to somehow, and people think, and it's not just you, but they think that's going to be the fuel to the fire for the Braves to win 100 games. It's something good. Once a month, he's not himself, completely not himself. Yeah, I think Brian Snicker probably has one blow up every 6 months, but not. Once a month is completely fabricated, and the players will know it, and it's going to lose its luster probably the second time he does it in a month.
Well, look, we got to get to the NBA. But
do we?
I will just say that I think this team has very much taken on the personality of the skipper, and it just too many times do I watch this team, and maybe it's also the personality of their – stars for the most part outside of Ronald Acuna,
yes,
or Michael Harris.
That is more accurate. Well, I don't believe that teams take on personalities of managers. I'm unless you just
only in baseball, or you believe that for sports across the board.
Look, I think that in football, it's a little bit different. Building a roster, and basketball, even in some ways, building a roster is different than baseball. I mean, baseball is a much more individual based sport.
For
that,
sure.
That is looped into a team.
You have a starting pitcher that doesn't even know the rest of the team, and he'd still be good.
Mm-hmm.
Baseball is you're looking for 26 individuals to all go do their job, and in the end of the day, in their job is literally completely different, I mean, the most part, than working. They're not working as a unit as much as you think. I mean, they have moments where they work.
Sure.
But in football, you need 11 players at every snap. 11 players have to work as one.
Yep.
And
be on the same page.
And if they don't, you fail. But in baseball, it's not the same. It's just not. So I don't think you construct a team at all the same. When we try to sit here and say, you know, you're not constructing a team based on the personalities or the way they play the game.
I just think when it comes to 162 games and you get in the dog days of summer, that there is a temptation to just go about the motions, just cruise through there. And I think you need personalities. I think you need fire. And I think it starts from the top down. And I don't think the Snicker too many times has seemed so disconnected from this lineup, and I think that's the product we're seeing on the field right now.
Here's the problem. I just don't think it's – I think it is more on the stars of the team. And Ozuna, sure, Olson, yeah, in his own way. Austin Riley. Acuna.
Yeah.
He's back now, okay? Michael Harris, if you're not going to leave with your bat, We do know you lead with your glove. But I need a little more personal on him. He's a hometown kid.
He's got, yeah. He's
and
got.
I think he could be. Now, he's got the personality that Olsen doesn't. Right. Olsen's more of a quiet kind of leader, lead by example type of guy. Maybe Michael Harris should be the guy that, or we need him to be the guy.
Yeah, I don't know. He's doing the hip thrust and tongue thing out there. I think he's giving us all he's got right
now. Yeah,
but I can't get on base.
Hold on a second. If Michael Harris struck out looking like Ozuna did yesterday, maybe he should lose it. Why does it just have to be the manager? I guess is my point.
I think baseball
to me is all the sports, one of the most superstar driven and you know, clubhouse guy driven because of the way that clubhouse is made.
I don't know. Give me multiple.
Well, I think the few times that Brian Snitker has had statements come about, whether it's the Jared Kelenic thing or the other day with Ozzy and saying that, you know, he did that on his own, I feel like everyone has harped on him quite a bit to the point where Brian Snitker's probably like, I'm not saying anything.
Yeah, maybe.
Because nothing I say is right.
Yeah, maybe. Unfortunately, you're the manager of the Atlanta Braves, so it kind of comes with the territory. We do need to hit the NBA playoffs, Allie, before we get to Life Squid.
Yeah, the Eastern Conference happened Saturday night. Pacers eliminated the Knicks, bringing the series 4-2. Pascal Siakam had 31 points. Tyrese Halliburton had 21. Final score, 125-108. So, no, not Nixon 7. Sorry, Dylan. Not going to happen.
Yeah, Tyrese Halliburton had 21, but no MVP trophy.
I mean, I'm still a little bit more blown away that Dylan was pulling for a major market team to win over a small market for I don't even know what reason. Also, a team that spit on our superstar. Or, excuse me, their fans that spit on our superstar.
I'll say this. I more so wanted the Knicks to come back when the Timberwolves had a chance because the finals that I wanted to see was Timberwolves-Knicks. I thought that would have been probably the most fun finals, probably the most, for lack of a better term, sexy finals. Mm. But with OKC
why would that be more fun? Sexy, I hear it. It would be definitely sexy for the TV networks. But I'm not sure how it'd be more fun because I think you got the two hottest teams in basketball for sure. Sure. There's no doubting that.
Yes.
But you've got the best team all year from start to finish and one of the top three, four they were the fourth seed, but they were pretty good all year too.
Yeah. And to your point, Bo, the Indiana Pacers are playing their best basketball right now without a doubt. And like you said, the Thunder have been the best team the whole season. So with that and saying all that, the thinking after thinking, like I said, long and hard about it and knowing, you know, talking to some people on the basketball court, I actually am fond of this finals matchup because I do think it will provide a good product. While a lot of people might not be interested in the small market towns, I do think it'll be a fun matchup when it comes to the products we get on the court.
I'm glad you thought long and hard about it.
I did.
Pause. Anyways.
15% off all your orders at Baron Burton's or for Baron Burton's W Sauce, if you go to WSauce.com and use the promo code
Squid.
SQUID, Allie.
There you go.
See? She gets it. Just look at her and she speaks. That's what we need to do. And also, my friends at New Realm Brewing, Owl and Lager is the official beer of. I guess we have pretty
sure. You didn't look at me.
I looked at Allie. Kennesaw State Athletics.
I want to make sure you get it right. I'm just watching you get it right.
Yeah, so it's phenomenal. Also, real quick, if you guys want to hang out with us at Sports Radio 910 The Game's third annual Father's Day dinner, well, it's a-coming, and we want you to join us. That's Friday, June 13th at Lazy Dog Restaurant and Bar Perimeter as we celebrate Father's Day with you. You can go to 929thegame.com. Click the contest page and tell us why you want to treat your dad to a special dinner with the 929 The Game staff. Or you can tell us why you want to bring your grandfather, your kid, your coach, anyone important in your life. It's all presented to you by Atlanta Motor Speedway, where NASCAR returns, Mike.
Boogity, boogity, boogity. Let's go racing.
June 28th for the Quaker State 400 available at Walmart. And brought to you by Lazy Dog Restaurant and Bar. Eat, drink, and good times. So make sure you enter for your chance to win at
929thegame.com.
That's right. Odell Beckham Jr. was on some kind of show on Paramount Plus and CBS Sports. It was what?
It's not some kind of show. I don't know what it was.
It looked like a soccer broadcast because it had
might have been.
It might be. It had the French dude that used to play and headbutted people. I think
Zinedine Zidane.
No, it wasn't Zidane. It was the other guy, Henry or whatever.
Thierry Henry.
Yeah, Henry. He was talking about his departure from the New York Football Giants.
For me, it's like the New York Giants. Like, I never, ever wanted to leave the New York Giants. The reason you heard me talking about what was going on is because I was pissed because where I come from in college, if we lost one game, our season was over. This was an organization I got drafted to. They believed in me. So if the Giants went and won a Super Bowl, I would be happy. But deep down inside,
you're like,
I wanted to be the one.
You wanted the one to bring one.
No question.
Yeah, another one.
So it's definitely, you'll always hold that. But then, you know, if someone like me, I went to the LA Rams, won a Super Bowl, you know.
you know.
You know what I mean? But, like, I still, you just want that.
So that's why he acted like a jerk on the sidelines and, you know, did the, I guess, did the boat. The little boat party before the playoff game in New York because he wanted to win a Super Bowl. He just didn't want to lose one game. So he's going to, you know, kick kicking nets over or headbutt him or whatever the hell it was he did. Yeah. I love how he put in there that he joined the Rams and won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, right.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It was all him. He did play well. Don't get me wrong. But, yeah, it was all Odell.
I got to tell you, man, Odell, I was such a big fan of his for a long time. The whole plane, the plane video of him being in first class and then like making everybody deboard. Have y'all ever seen that?
No.
Yes. Oh, unfortunately, gosh. I have watched that.
He acted like a complete moron to trash talk everybody that was mad at him because they're all having to get off the plane. And he's going, "Yeah, you can trash talk you want to. I'm flying a private jet when I get off this thing." And it's like, dude, you lost me with that one.
Let me tell you
completely
something.
Completely lost me with that one.
Why, or let me ask you, both of you, why is it when people get in an airport or an airplane, they lose their ever-loving
mind? High stress situation.
I don't know. It's insane, though. Yeah.
The only thing that makes me stress is everyone else at the airport. Like, the flying thing doesn't bother me. And on it, I really don't. It's nothing. The airport's not hard. We make it hard by how the majority of people there act. But I mean, you just show up with you know what it is? It's where you have to be an adult and where you realize that most people can't be one. Show up on time. Imagine that. You just treat people with respect. Imagine that.
Follow the rules.
Yeah. But no, we can't do those. Any of those things, apparently, as a society. Anyways, yeah. I don't know how I went down on the airport rant.
Shout out to Odell for that one. That's going to do it for us here on The Morning Shift. This hour has been brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. We'll be back tomorrow morning, 6 a.m., same time, same place. Till then, make sure you
stay cool, Atlanta.